Good morning. How you guys doing? Doing all right? Dean, thanks for sharing your story with us. Thanks for your just openness and vulnerability. And it's encouraging to hear what God's been doing in your life, in your heart. So thanks for sharing that. I'm excited to be here this morning, Valentine's Day. You guys knew it was Valentine's Day, right? Okay, it's good. Most of the time you want to know when that is. I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited for this new sermon series that we're kicking off today, Inside Out. You know, the pastors and leaders of H2O have been praying for you guys, and they've been trying to discern what would be an important thing for us to talk about. And as they've done that, they've really felt like engaging with God on a heart level, maybe one of the most important things and maybe one of the biggest needs that we have as a church right now. So that's why we're jumping into this sermon series. It can be so easy for us to get wrapped up in activities, good things to do, meetings, but then to neglect a heart-level connection with God. But that is what we're here for. That's what it's all about. That's what we long for, is that connection with God, a relationship that's vibrant. And in the Psalms, it's beautiful because we see these authors pouring out their hearts to the Lord. It's like reading somebody's diary, and you see somebody sharing things in there that's just raw, uncensored, emotional, heart-level communication. And you know, if you think about it, communicating your heart is a key to any relationship you have, right? There are all kinds of things that we communicate, heart-level things, love, praise, admiration, fear, confusion, conflict, anger, sadness, joy, excitement. Those things are all there. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the Psalms and talking about how to relate to God from the inside out. And you know, we thought that we would do this devotional as a church as well, where we're reading through a psalm a day for the Lent season, which really started on Wednesday and goes right up until Easter. And the hope with all of this is that we would engage freshly with our hearts with the Lord. Does that sound good? You guys excited for that? I'm excited for that. I feel like, man, I need that heart-level connection with the Lord. Well, today we're going to be talking about praise, looking at Psalm 103. But before we do, let's pray. God, thanks for today. We thank you for just the opportunity that it is for us to be here together, to worship you, to turn our attention away from all the other things that we could have our attention on and turn it back to you. And we pray this morning you'd speak to us. I pray that it wouldn't be information that we talk about, but that this would lead to connecting with you on a heart level, to praising you on a heart level. We want to give this time to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So you know, today's Valentine's Day, and people do all kinds of crazy stuff to celebrate Valentine's Day, don't they? Have you ever done something crazy on Valentine's Day? I'm not a real crazy guy in terms of my celebrating externally. Internally, I'm going crazy, but you would never know it. Well, this year, my wife Alyssa and I, we did something that we've never done before to celebrate Valentine's Day. We have a six-month-old son. He's actually 6 months old today. And so we got him dressed up. I guess I should say dressed down. We got a picture of this. And yeah, we got him there and did some kisses and took some pictures. And then we were going to send that to our families for Valentine's Day. And he was a good sport. I wouldn't have gone with that if I was him. But he did it just fine. I think he had fun even. But I know that's not a normal way to celebrate Valentine's Day. Probably most of you aren't doing that. Just an idea for the future. But what's a little bit more normal, right, is to communicate your heart to somebody, communicate love or admiration to somebody. People will be doing that all day today, all weekend. And so I thought, you know what? It's Valentine's Day. It's only right for me to share a love note with you. You guys want to hear a love note? Yeah, a couple people, yeah. A couple people are like, I'm not sure. Well, I'm going to share it anyways. So this is a note I wrote to Alyssa 5 years ago when we were dating. I heard some, it's great. It says, I just wanted to write you a note to tell you how amazingly blessed and honored I am to have you in my life. Your joy and excitement for life is contagious. Your ambition and hard work is impressive. Your selfless love for your family and friends is inspiring. Your passion for God is outstanding, and your obedience to the Spirit's leading is refreshing. You do a lot of things that I admire and respect, but it's your heart and who you are that make me love you so much. Not bad, huh? Not bad. Not bad, if I do say so myself. I think this was just after I had told her that I loved her for the first time. That was a big deal. And she said thanks. And, you know, that was like that was the end of the date. All right, well, see you tomorrow. And it makes her sound bad. She just wanted to say it at a time when we all knew that she wasn't just responding to what I said. So why do you think I wrote her that note? Because I wanted her to know that I loved her, right? I wanted her to know that I admired her, and I wanted her to know why I admired her. And you know what? That's really what praise is. It's expressing approval or admiration to somebody else. We praise what we admire or who we admire. And if you think about it, we know how to do this in our lives, right? We do this somewhat intuitively. You guys know Kevin Cody? He praises those Chicago sports teams, right? He doesn't have to work at it. He does it intuitively. Well, today we're talking about praising God and seeing what that looks like. And like we said, we're going to be doing that by reading Psalm 103. There are all kinds of different psalms. You're probably aware of that. You've read some where people are crying out in anger or fear. This one is all about praising God. And we know that it was written by David. And from the context, it seems pretty clear that he wasn't a young man at this stage. He was getting older. And when you look at the psalm, you see three major sections. We're going to jump into the first one. In this first one, David is really writing to himself. It really is like a diary, okay? He's talking to himself, and we get to see what is it that he's doing. And really, it's a personal pep talk. Let's take a look. In verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That whole section, he's talking to himself, talking himself up, reminding himself to praise the Lord. You know what? He could have easily just started praising the Lord, right? But he didn't do that, and I think that demonstrates something pretty important for us. A heart of praise is something that needs to be cultivated. It's something that we put thought and effort into. And David knows that, and that's what he's doing here. He's modeling that for us, stirring up his heart to praise. You may wonder why. Why is that something we need to cultivate? Well, David answered that too right at the beginning. He said, forget not all his benefits. There may be other reasons, but at least this is a big one. It is so easy for us to forget God as we're going through life, isn't it? It's so easy to forget who he is and what he's done. And David knows that. And so at the beginning here, he's talking to himself, saying, all right, let's remember. And that really sets up the rest of the psalm, the rest of the stuff we're going to talk about. Okay, so I want you to picture David writing this psalm. Okay, he's an older man. He's sitting down to write, and he realizes, okay, I want to praise. I got to remember. So he's like, what do I have to praise God for? And he's thinking about his life. He's starting to think through his experiences. These are things that are personal and meaningful to him. And basically he says, all right, I'm just going to start making a list. What do I have to praise God for? And the first thing he thinks about is his sin. He remembers his sin and the consequences of his sin. And he remembers, wow, those are some pretty big mistakes. They've had some big consequences. If you're familiar with David's life, you know that's true, right? Adultery, cover-up, murder, the death of his son. This isn't a list of intellectual things that he can think about from his life. This is stuff that he feels in his heart. He has those feelings of guilt and sorrow and pain, and he's thinking about that, and then he's remembering that God forgives him. And so he writes down, praise God who forgives your sins. And as he does that, his heart is stirred to praise God. And then he sits back and he starts thinking again, all right, what else do I have? What else? Thinking about his life. And he thinks about his physical health. Okay, I'm no expert in what medicine was like in the time that David lived, but it probably wasn't quite what it is today. Diseases were deadly and they were significant threats in people's lives. And David's looking back and he's remembering times when he was sick. He's remembering the fear and the helplessness that he felt to do anything about it. And he remembers that God protected him and healed him. And so he writes down, praise God who heals your diseases. He's reminding himself, and his heart is stirred a little bit more to praise God. And then he starts thinking more. And he remembers, you guys maybe have heard these stories of the enemies that are chasing David, and like half of the Psalms are like him crying out, you know, he's in the throes of death. And he remembers time and time again, he had an enemy who was had him right where he wanted him. And he's remembering what he felt when he realized that, right? Oh, okay, this could be the day that I get killed. But God spared him. He protected him. And he writes down, praise God who redeems your life from the pit. And his heart is stirred even more to praise the Lord. And he keeps thinking. And as he's looking back, he's an older man. He's looking back. He realizes, you know, there's a repeated theme in my life. God's intimate love and compassion. Instead of being distant, God had been close and intimate. Instead of being harsh, God had been tender. Instead of being emotionally cold or angry, God had been loving and kind. And David writes down, praise God who crowns you with love and compassion. Think about that for a second. Why would he write it that way? God who crowns you with love and compassion. He's not just making a list. He's connecting with it on a heart level. What does it mean to be crowned with something? You know, a king is crowned. That's a public declaration, right? It's something that's meant to be seen by others. And that crown stands for something, something that's true about that person's identity, who they are. David's saying, I look back at my life and it displays to everybody who sees it your love and your compassion. That's heart level connection. And in his heart, he's stirred even more to praise the Lord. And one last time, he goes back, scanning. He sees how God has brought him satisfaction. God has been good to him, and he writes down, "Praise God who satisfies your desires with good things." He's talking himself up. He's reminding himself. And at the end of this, he's ready to praise God because he has connected not just with some ideas, but with some experiences in his life, remembering who God is. And then we get to the second section of the psalm, and this is where it takes a turn. Instead of talking to himself, now he starts talking to other people. He's like, "I'm ready to praise God. Now let's get you ready to praise God." Let's take a look in verse 6. It says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." That's a great passage, isn't it? That's so encouraging. I love this psalm. There's so many great things that are highlighted about who God is. And it's not just listed out. It's poetic in the way that he says it, right? As high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, from everlasting to everlasting. It's a heart sort of language that he's using here. And really, he's doing the same thing he was doing for himself, for other people, right? He's making a list. And this list is who God is that stirs us up to praise him. And I pulled out 10 things from that. There may be more. I'm not really sure. But just look at this list. God is righteous. He's just. He pursues us. He's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving, merciful, understanding. This goes back to what he was saying to himself. We forget. Let's not forget. So he's making this list, and he's telling the people around him, "Praise the Lord. Look at all we have to praise God for." And there's a need for that, right? I think he knew that. There was a need for that because we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. And we just finished a sermon series talking about that. But I think he knew that. He knew we have an enemy trying to get us to forget God, or at least to twist the truth about who he is. Think about this for a second. Don't the majority of our questions or our issues with God come back to who he is, his character? Is he really good? Is he really trustworthy? Is he really just? Is he really in control? You know, most of the time we wrestle with that not because we don't know the information, but because on a heart level, we're wrestling to really believe it. So David's trying to help the people around him. He's trying to remind them of the truth. and challenge them to remember and praise the Lord as a result. And when we hear that, I think it's good for us to ask ourselves the question, are we remembering the truth about God, who he is, seeing him clearly? Let's just pick a couple things. God is righteous and just. Do you really believe that on a heart level? Do you sense that as you live your life and circumstances come up? God's compassionate and gracious. Is that the God that you're picturing? He's slow to anger. You could go through this list. You could make another list of all these other characteristics of God. The question is, on a heart level, are you engaging with those things, remembering that those are true, despite the circumstances you're in? Well, that's what David's doing here. He's challenging the people around him, trying to remind them, sort of rally the troops. And then we get to the last section of this psalm, and the focus shifts one more time. Now it's just all of creation, everything. In verse 19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul." So he zooms out one more time, and now it's just all of creation. Praise the Lord. And I love how he finishes up at the end. He comes full circle, comes right back to talking to himself, telling himself, praise the Lord. So let's talk about real quick what that means for us. It's a great example. I love David's example. He's known as a man after God's own heart. And it's because he's engaging his heart with the Lord. Well, the first thing is, I think whenever I read a psalm like this, I wonder, am I cultivating a heart of praise for God in my life? Am I sitting down trying to help myself remember, what do I have to praise God for? What has he done in my life? Who is he really? Am I seeing him clearly? Sometimes I need reminding. Truthfully, I need reminding all the time. I'm surprised by how quickly I need reminding. And I wonder, if I'm not cultivating a heart of praise for God, what kind of heart am I cultivating? And I think that's a challenging question for me. And then the second thing is that we see David doing, are we helping others cultivate a heart of praise for God? A couple weeks ago, Aziz was sharing up here, and he shared a picture of the church with us, and those are the Roman soldiers all clumped together in a big group, moving together. And I love that picture, and I think it applies to this too. This is not just a personal thing. This is a community thing, something we do together. We have a role in reminding one another to praise the Lord and reminding one another what is the truth. Who is God? What has he done? It's good to remember. So let me give you a challenge this week, something to go do. Like David, take some time to make a list. Make your own list. Think about who is God and what has he done in your life? And do your best to engage with that on a heart level. Meaningful things. And then when you get that list made, find somebody else and share it with them. You'll be doing both of those things, cultivating a heart of praise within yourself and then helping somebody else to do the same. What do you think? Is that something you can do? I think that's what it looks like for us to engage with this. Well, this morning, we're going to be celebrating communion together. And we've talked about how remembering God and what he's done helps us to cultivate a heart of praise for him. And in the same way, when we remember Jesus and what he's done, it has the same effect on our hearts. Now, this is actually something Jesus wanted his followers to do. And communion is actually the way that he taught us to do that, to remember him. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" As we celebrate communion, we're remembering Jesus' life and his death on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins. We're remembering his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. And as we remember him and what he's done, let's try to let that stir our hearts to praise him. If you're here this morning and you haven't trusted in Jesus, you're not sure maybe what you believe, that's great. We're excited that you're here. We're honored that you're here with us. But don't feel any pressure to come up for communion. Instead, as we celebrate, consider Jesus' offer to believe in him. It says in John 3 that God loved us so much, he gave his son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. He didn't send Jesus here to condemn the world, but in order to save us through him, and that offer still stands. Consider that as we take communion together and remember him. In just a minute, the band's going to come up. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing three songs. And as they do, when you're ready to come up, form a line, come up, take the bread and the juice, and remember Jesus. We have gluten-free stuff over here to my left, if that's what you're looking for. That's over there. So let's take some time to remember Jesus and celebrate together. God, thanks for today. We thank you for this opportunity for us to come together. We thank you for David's example of a man who engages with his heart, a man who knows that he needs to cultivate a heart of praise, and I pray that'd be true for us individually. I pray that'd be true for us together as a church, that we'd spur one another on to praising you, to remember the truth about you. And this morning, as we take communion, we thank you for Jesus and for who he is and what he's done for us, that we can be made right with you through him. And we want to remember and celebrate that this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen.